All right, well, let's go ahead, shall we, and pray this morning and ask God's blessing upon our service. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much for Lauren today. Thank you, God, for the just wonderful young lady she is and the great accomplishment that she's had in her life in her graduation. And we just pray, God, that you would help us as a church family to continue to encourage her, to pray for her in every way we possibly can. And Father, may Lauren continue to hold fast to you. May she continue to make you her greatest treasure, and may she trust in you with all of her heart, knowing that you will guide and direct her every path. Father, I thank you for this day in which we can gather and worship you this morning, and I pray now, Lord, that you would help us to be focused upon you and what you have for us. Try to eliminate any distractions that we have in our life, and Lord, as the word is preached this morning, that you would help us to be obedient to your Holy Spirit. God, that we would be drawn closer to you, that we would look more like your Son, and that we would glorify you even greater. So, Father, we pray that everything that's said and done would bring you great glory today. You are worthy, Lord, of our praise. And so may that be reflected in how we worship today, in our listening, and with our prayers, and with our singing this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 this morning. We're going to continue our series on the family. As you can see on your screen, I've entitled it Rock Solid, Building Families for the Glory of God. So we started this series, for those of you that may not know, on Mother's Day. We're going to finish this series next Sunday on Father's Day. And so I hope it's been a help to you. I hope it's been encouragement to you. I hope it's challenged you and even convicted you, that it would be used in order that your family might be growing stronger for the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that God may be preeminent in your house. And so Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start reading verse number 25 through the end of the chapter, and you follow along as I read. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I have found as a pastor that as I've had opportunity to counsel many couples in their marriage, that a lot of the times, and I would say a majority of the times, their problem began due to a lack of communication. In fact, it's interesting, I just happened to hop online and I was kind of doing some little research for this sermon, and I wanted to kind of see what communication and where it ranked as far as problems in marriage and kind of where it fell in the, so to speak, the top 10. And would you believe that there's a website called marriage.com that lists a lack of communication, get this, number 3 in the top reasons why couples divorce. Let me read what the article said. It said this: communication is crucial in marriage, and not being able to communicate effectively quickly leads to resentment and frustration for both, impacting all aspects of a marriage. On the other hand, good communication is the foundation of a strong marriage. When two people are sharing a life together, they must be able to talk about what they need and be able to understand and try to meet the needs of their partner. Yelling at your spouse, not talking enough throughout the day, making nasty comments to express yourself are all unhealthy methods of communication that need to be ditched in a marriage. Besides, when couples stop talking to each other, they can feel isolated and lonely and stop caring about one another altogether. This can lead to the breakdown of a relationship. Now, as I read that to you this morning, I think to myself, yeah, I could not agree with that anymore. Because even for a secular article, a secular viewpoint, it is recognized how important communication is in a marriage, and for that matter, for any relationship, right? And so the good news is this, my friends, for the child of God, the Bible faithfully addresses the rights and wrongs of good communication for the purpose of helping us to have a marriage that is pleasing and glorifying to God. So guess what the topic is today, right? Communication. We're going to look at what the Word of God says, and I want to just say this, and I know I sound like a broken record the last several weeks, but if you are here today and you're not married, okay, or maybe you're a younger person this morning, I want you to know that this message, even though we're applying this to marriage this morning, the principles that we're going to share today, the five that we're going to share, are good principles for communication in any relationship. And so don't tune it out. Keep in mind what we're studying, what the Word of God says, and see what God has for us, and understand the value and the importance of good, healthy, godly communication. Number one is this: communication in the home must be honest. It must be honest. You see, there are two rules that we have as a part of our communication with our spouse, or again, with anyone else, even with our kids, and that is this: we must always be honest and we must never lie. You say, well, duh, right? It does sound obvious, doesn't it? But how many of us actually do that? In other words, the Bible makes clear that we are to put off the sin of lying and that we are to put on honesty by doing what? Speaking the truth in love. You see, folks, when we look at the Word of God and we understand this, that communication has to be honest in our relationships, or otherwise trust will be questioned, right? If we're not communicating properly in our relationships, we have a hard time building a trust in that relationship. And you see, the only way we can be honest in our marriages or with anyone else is being open and transparent with one another. You see, we can't know our spouse unless we're open and honest with them. We can't truly know them. They can't really truly know us if we're not going to be honest. And so what does it require? It requires you and I to have open hearts, again, that are completely truthful and honest. Let me give you some things couples say sometimes to one another in their marriage, and you see if maybe this sounds familiar to you. Here's a few of them for you. I didn't know you felt that way. Or I didn't know what I was doing was annoying you, or I didn't know that was so important to you, or I didn't know you wanted me to do that. Have you ever said that before? Has your spouse ever said that to you before? You say, well, why is it that these things are said? It is because there has not been any openness or truthfulness in that relationship. You see, most of the problems begin in a marriage because neither spouse is being honest with the other one. So the problem with not communicating then effectively sometimes is, and you listen and you see if this has been true in your life or in your marriage, is because we don't want to maybe hurt our spouse, or we're in fear that we're going to cause a problem, or there's going to be some sort of fuss going on, or some sort of fighting, or angry, or we might feel like we're going to be rejected in some way if we are open and honest. But the truth is, when we're not open and honest with one another in our communication, what happens? And you probably know the answer very well. Things begin to build up, right? Things begin to fester, and eventually they come to a head with this eventual explosion, so to speak, in a marriage because of lack of communication. It becomes a barrier, doesn't it, in our marriages? To the point that we may refuse, even get to this point where we refuse to communicate with our spouse truthfully. And see, folks, when you and I choose not to communicate, not only in our marriages, but for that matter, with anyone else, we are actually, get this, being deceitful. And you say, well, how am I being deceitful if I'm not talking? Because you're pretending. You're acting like everything is okay, or maybe all the while you are seething inside. You are angry and you get bitter behind that person's back because you're not being open with them. Has that ever happened to you, maybe? Where you've completely shut down and you're angry and you're not talking, or you get bitter about it over time because you're unwilling to communicate? The truth of the matter is this. Sometimes marriage requires hard conversations, right? For those of you that have been married for a long time, you know that. I know that. Why is that? Hard conversations are not for the purpose of harming the marriage, but rather preventing the destruction of a marriage. That's why we say we got to be honest. We got to be open. This means that a couple gives their spouse, each other, full permission to do what? To speak truth into their lives whenever necessary, with what? The sole purpose of having a harmonious marriage that pleases God. We got to be able to say to our spouse, you know what? And as long as this is done in the right way and in a biblical manner, we got to be able to say to our spouse, you know what? If you see something that, you know, doesn't quite jive with you or you don't like, you know what? Honey, please tell me. Let me know. Speak truth into my life so I understand, all right? So we can talk about it. Because, see, there's a few things that we need to think about, right? We are to be honest, but we're not to totally always just spew everything out and spew our mind out about every little thing. We're to speak to solve the conflict. We'll talk about that in a moment, right? And it's not just about you, but it's also you and I listening to our partners. So that has to be done consistently. Isn't like when you just feel like it, like when you're having a skippity-doo-dah day and, oh man, everything's lovely. I'm going to communicate with my spouse today. I'm going to be open and honest. But there are days when you're not feeling so good. No, every day, consistently. And here's the other thing. It has to be done in love, doesn't it? It has to be loving. Our marriages can only thrive and our marriages can only grow when there is open and honest communication, but it also does not mean letting it all hang out either. You say, well, why do you say that? Because the Bible is clear. We'll get to this in a moment, but it's clear on the instruction that there are some things that are sinful and there are some things that are shameful for you and I to speak to our spouse. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful in how we choose our words, and we have to be careful with the attitude with which we use them. And if you look at verse number 29, look what it says. Let no corrupting talk come from your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And that includes your spouse. So it has to be open. It has to be honest. And secondly, communication in the home must stay current. It's got to stay current. And what I mean by that is this. Do not let your problems drag out. Be sure to deal with them, right? Resolve them and then move on. And so it is important for us to deal with things in a timely manner. And the Bible speaks this. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Day at a time, right? Dealing with the situation immediately, currently, not dragging it out. Why do I say that? Because unresolved situation, letting things drag out, leads to anger and leads to bitterness, doesn't it, over time? By the way, when we don't deal with things that in a current manner, it has a tendency to give the devil a foothold too in our lives. Doesn't it? I feel like we open ourselves wide open, don't we? When we don't deal with it in a current way. Listen, now I know as I'm talking to you this morning that there will also be times in our marriage where we let love cover the sin, right? There'll be times that we do that by forgiveness. There'll be times that we do that by exercising forbearance with our spouse and sometimes even letting the fault of that other person go. Have you ever done that? Sometimes that's necessary. Remember a few weeks ago I said, can you imagine bringing up every little thing your spouse does to annoy you, how difficult that would make your marriage? Can you imagine? Calling them out on every little thing that they do that you don't like, you would have a horrible marriage. So there is times, yes, that we have to let love cover things. We have to exercise patience and forbearance, and that's part of, and I'll just take it this far, that's part of loving our spouse, isn't it? That's part of it, showing that love. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, and here it is, since love covers a multitude of sins. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. That's why I say that's part of loving our spouse. But if the problem cannot be solved with love covering it because of harm that it might cause to that person or due to the testimony of Christ, then the issue has to be dealt with and resolved, right? Amen? Amen. It can't be left to drag out. So I want to share with you six questions today as we keep current in our communication before we decide to bring up any difficulty in a marriage, okay? And this comes from a man by the name of Wayne Mack. He wrote a book called Strengthening Your Marriage. Excellent book. I would highly recommend it to all of you married couples. But listen to these questions. So when you have a sticky situation come up or you have a problem that arises in your marriage, I want you to try, and I know you don't have them in front of you right now, but you listen as I read these. I want you to try to at least remember some of these questions. Number one is this. Do I have all the facts right? You ever run into something where you don't have all the facts or you jump on your spouse about something and then you realize later, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. Or maybe even with someone at work. How about this one? Is what I'm about to say edifying? In other words, will that build up my spouse or will that hurt them? Will that destroy them or will that encourage them? Here's another one. Number three, is my timing right to bring it up? Man, that's a big one, isn't it? I know I've been guilty of that. Sometimes our timing is not always right to bring up a situation that needs to be discussed. So we need to ask ourselves that. Would it be better to wait? Sometimes it is better to wait. Number four, is my attitude right? See, we can say something to our spouse and maybe even say it the right way, but our attitude stinks, right? All the time. It may sound good coming out, but inside, we're struggling and we're upset and we're angry, right? So is our attitude right? Am I approaching this in a godly way? In what I'm about to do and talking to my spouse and keeping current, am I doing it in a way that pleases God? Which leads to number five. Are my words loving? Are they loving? Is what I'm about to say the best possible way to say it? Number six, and this is huge, folks. Have I prayed for God's help and do I trust Him to help me? See, in some of these situations, we run right into them. We rush right into them. We don't give any thought whatsoever about the fact that, hey, maybe I need to stop. Maybe I should be praying about this before I go to my spouse and deal with this situation. See, these are all good questions, aren't they? These are all good things for us to ask before we tackle any problem with our spouse. And these questions and our communication, what do? They help us to do that in our marriage. Otherwise, I'm afraid if we're not doing that, then we're on a path to destruction. Let me give you number three, the third principle. Communication in the home, listen closely, means attack problems and not the person. Look at verses 29 and 30, if you would please, again. I'm going to read 29 again. We might read it again. Let's see it, because we need it. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Paul gives us exactly, and we're going to see it in a moment, exactly that which we're to put off and that which we're to put on in our lives. We are to put off words that tear down, and what are we to put on? Words that build up, right? It's pretty simple when you think about it, but hard to practice. So he tells us that we are to put off the words that tear down, put on the words that build up, and put on the words that attack the problem and don't attack the person. There's a difference. If we're going to communicate in the home in a God-glorifying manner, then we cannot, listen closely, verbally attack our spouse or anyone else by using words that are going to hurt them. Listen, folks, it's completely, utterly off limits for you and I to abuse our spouse verbally. That is a place a child of God should never go. We do not have the right to do that. It is sinful. It is displeasing to God. And guess what? It accomplishes nothing but harm and, again, eventually the destruction of our marriages. So what do? We lovingly look to solve the problem, don't we? We're looking for a way to solve that problem with love. And you say, well, how do I do that? By placing the other person's interest above our own. See, we have to realize something. The problem is what our spouse says or does. Are you with me? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we have to attack that and not the person. It is what they're saying or what they're doing that we have to deal with and not attack the individual. I believe, and you check this out, maybe even in your own life, think about this. I believe why we attack many times in our communication or when there's a problem, the person rather than the problem, is because we lack self-control. We have no self-control. We lose our tempers. We become sinfully angry. You know, I don't find this humorous, but sometimes I hear people joke about having a short temper. Have you ever heard anybody do that? I got a short temper, and they excuse it away as, well, that's just the way I am. Listen, sinful actions are no laughing matter. It's nothing that we should make light of. In other words, what do? We call sin, sin, what it is. We don't beat around the bush when it comes to having, in this particular situation, a short fuse or blowing up. See, the Bible calls that wrath. The Bible calls that sinful anger. And what are you and I to do with that in our lives? We are to kill it. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be what? Put away from you with all malice. It's a sin that's to be killed. I hope, my prayer is today, that some of you here do not regularly attack your spouse or your kids with hurtful and angry words. When we see it so clearly in Scripture, because your lack of self-control is going to leave your spouse, it's going to leave your kids battered and broken and absolutely weary. And that's what it's going to do. And then you're standing around scratching your head. Gee, I don't understand why nobody likes me in my family. They may love you, but they may not like you. Or you're wondering, why is my wife not talking to me? Why is my husband not talking to me? Why don't my kids want to show me any affection? Because you're abusing them verbally. That's why. There's no love there. And see, my friends, if we don't stop treating our family members in that way, in a harsh manner, and if we don't start replacing that with kindness and tenderness, you are going to blow your family apart. Total destruction. Because all lines of communication, you know what happens in those situations? Will be shut down. It's like you're building a brick wall. All the while, it's shut down. There's nothing but frustration. There's nothing but brokenness that lies in its wake. So I hope you can see that this morning. I hope you can see that a lack of self-control is like a cancer that will kill your marriage. Let me ask you something. You might even be sitting there right now thinking, well, you know, is that really a big deal? I mean, is that really a problem? Well, I hope by now you realize it is. But let me ask you something. Who wants to live with a person that cannot control their temper? Who wants to communicate, as we're talking about in the very first point, openly and honestly with a person who becomes irritated and vindictive at a drop of a hat? You're walking around on tiptoes, you know? You're walking around, what's going to happen? I'm sure that those of us here this morning that are married would not want a spouse like that, but I'm afraid if we're not careful, that's what some of our marriages can look like. And if I'm describing you today, husband or wife, child, mom, dad, then my counsel for you would be to do exactly what the Bible tells us to do with any sin. Repent and gain forgiveness. Repent and ask the Lord's forgiveness. Repent and go to that family member and ask them for forgiveness. And then maybe it requires you to get even more help, and you get a biblical counselor, a Christian counselor that can help keep you accountable. And ask God, say, Lord, please help me be spirit-controlled rather than be controlled by my anger. My stepdad, many, many, many years ago, put this little saying on the refrigerator of our house that says, and I think it's still there, he who angers you controls you. Man, I had to look at that every time I went to get something out of the refrigerator. But it is true. Every time we lose our temper, we allow the evil one to control us, don't we? We allow the evil one to step in and gain a foothold in our life and in our marriages. And if that is true, then my friend, what you need to do is get your heart right with God and with your spouse before it's too late to save your marriage from any damage that you may have already done. See, the good news is this. There can be restoration through Jesus Christ, right? You say, man, it's too far gone. I don't know if that can happen. Yes, it can, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, it can, because we can forgive one another, as the Bible says, and we'll look at that in a moment. Yes, it can, because love covers a multitude of sins. Because you might think there's no hope. You might think, I've been a jerk. I've been verbally abusing my spouse and my family. I've just been hard to live with. I'm an angry person. I'm bitter. I'm angry all the time. Listen, my friend, there's still hope for you, okay? Things can be made right. It's not too late. I want you to know that. Listen to what James tells us in James chapter 1, 19 and 20. He says, this is what we must do to have God-pleasing, glorifying communication. Listen to what he says. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And he goes on, he says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Never will. Let me give you the fourth principle. Communication in the home acts and doesn't react. Verse 31 and 32, again, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another. You're saying, well, that means people in the church, right? No, it means everybody, including your family members. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Here's the clincher. This is the one that gets me. And I'd grab you too, as God in Christ forgave you. He does it every day. Paul says, put these things off, put these things on. And so we ought to be getting a good picture here of what communication ought to be within our marriages in order to have effective communication. In other words, what Paul is saying, you and I have to put to death these sins of the flesh, right? Remove them from our life. So why? Exactly what we're talking about, building families for the glory of God. That's why. So why? We have a family that's rock solid, that sits and rests on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we're talking about our tempers or we're talking about our words, listen to this list of sins. And let me just give you a quick definition of each one. Bitterness. You know what bitterness is? A smoldering resentment. Wrath. Flaring outburst of wild rages. Anger. It's an interning, smoldering, settled indignation or hostility that frequently, listen to this, seeks revenge. It wants revenge. Clamor. You say, well, there's a word we don't use much, right? It's harsh contention and strife. It's public quarreling. It's brawling. I could just say it's fighting. Slander. What's slander? We know most of us know this. It's speech that injures. It's ongoing defamation of another person that rises from what? A bitter spirit. And then he says malice. What is malice? The desire to harm others and see them suffer. Do you want to do that to your spouse? I hope not. Because Paul says, listen, instead of doing that, and this is one of the reasons, I love the Word of God and you should love the Word of God because it's just so complete, isn't it? Because Paul doesn't just say, okay, put all these things off, don't do this, kill these sins in your life. But then he tells us, here's what you need to do. It's like he lays it out on a wonderful platter for us and he says, be kind. Be kind. Be benevolent. Be helpful. How about this one? Be tender-hearted. Compassionate. Be sympathetic with your spouse. Third one, forgiving. You know what forgiving is? It's giving up your right to revenge or hold a grudge. When you forgive someone, you shouldn't be holding a grudge anymore. You've forgiven them. So we have to go back to what verse 32 says, as God in Christ forgave you. Does God hold grudges against you when he forgives you? No. Neither should we. You see, conflict occurs when people react selfishly rather than righteously. Most of the time, when you look at conflict in your communication or in your marriage, dig down, get all that stuff out of the way that's been said or done. The bottom of it, at the very base of it, is usually selfishness. Almost every time. It means we live according rather to who we are in Christ, right? If we're a child of God, our identity is in him, and we live according to who we are in him. Listen to Paul in chapter 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called. Listen to what he says, folks, and here it is. This is key. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Is he addressing the church here? Yes, but that also falls in line with our families. You see, it's not hard for a husband or wife to be open and honest, like we just talked about in point number one, when each one is what? Humble, when they're meek, and when they're patient in love. A wife, and ladies, you check me out on this, a wife can communicate freely with her husband who is humble, meek, and patient when she knows, listen, guys, that he will bear with her and will not condemn or demean her. A husband, you say, guy, you guys are thinking, well, what about us, right? A husband can share his life. A husband can open up when he's accepted as he is and for what he is and know this, that his wife is for him when she uses speech that is edifying, she freely forgives, and she seeks to be helpful and kind. You see what a difference it means to take on these attributes of righteousness rather than these sins in our lives? You see how that frees you and I up to be able to communicate in a God-glorifying manner when we're both putting off and we're putting on? Biblically speaking, when the attitudes and actions of Christ exist in our marriage, then healthy and effective communication will be the normal thing, not just some regular occurrence in your marriage. It'll be normal. And the beautiful thing is, the result will be God will be glorified. Another thing is, peace will fill your homes. When the virtues of Christ dominate your life and your relationship, that is what will take place. Let me give you the last one. And that is this. Communication in the home requires, listen to this, this goes for all of us, requires listening well. Let me say it again. And this is true of any relationship, right? Communication in the home, or just communication, good, effective, godly communication, requires listening well. Listen to Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he or she hears, it is their folly and shame. Let me read that again, because you don't have it in front of you. If one gives an answer before he or she hears, it is to them a folly and shame. Wayne Mack, I got to go back to Wayne, okay, for just a moment, gives three principles with how to be a good listener. So they're so helpful. I got to share them with you this morning. Number one, good listening involves letting the other person speak without interruption. Imagine that. Pretty practical, isn't it? See, I'm going to pick on us guys for a minute because I'm guilty, right, with you guys on this. See, for us men, we are always, most of the time, wanting to offer up our opinion or solution before our wives can even finish the sentence, right? Because we're problem solvers. It's kind of built into us a little bit. It's not an excuse for not listening, but we're problem solvers. So when they bring something to us, we're like, okay, well, we can do this and we can do this and A and B. And I mean, we got it all figured out, right? And you didn't hear a word she said. She didn't even get to finish the sentence. I do that sometimes. My wife has to remind me of that. Honey, I just need you to hear me a minute, okay? I just need you to listen. She has to stop me. Number two, good listening involves giving the other person undivided attention. Oh, man, this is where we all fall into the trap. Whenever possible, we must stop doing whatever we're doing, concentrate on what the other person is saying. Amen? Oh me, that's what some of you are saying. Whenever possible, we must do that. We must give our spouse undivided attention in our conversations. Because when we don't, here's what we're saying. Our relationship or you aren't as important than what I'm doing. That's what we're saying. Here's a big one. Right? Yeah, honey. I hear you. Yeah. Oh, wow. Did you know so-and-so posted this on Facebook? Oh, did you see the Instagram picture? That was pretty cool. What? Yeah, okay. We do it all the time. It's one of the worst things. You know, I love technology. I love smartphones. But it causes problems sometimes if we don't put them away. If we're trying to communicate, we can't have them out. So we have to be careful, don't we? We have to be careful we're not tuning the other person out because we're thinking even about a good answer before they finish, right? I've done that many times. They're talking to you and you're not listening. You're thinking about how you're going to respond. That's not good listening. Number three, good listening involves making sure we really understand what the person is saying or thinking. See, it's fair for us to ask questions sometimes. It isn't like we're asking questions because, you know, we're trying to belittle our spouse, but we ask questions because maybe we need more information, right? Or we need clarification. And if we don't like what someone has said, we ought to assume even, how about this, giving your spouse the benefit of the doubt. Let me give you a silly little example. A wife says to her husband, I thought you'd never come home. It would be wrong, guys, because I know what you're thinking. But it would be wrong for us to think automatically, first default thing goes through our head, there she goes again, she's complaining about me. I can't do anything right. She wants to run my life. Did you ever stop to think for a moment? Number one, maybe your wife was worried about you. Or maybe number two, this is what we love to hear. Honey, I really missed you so much. Can happen, I hope so. I couldn't wait for you to get home. You see the difference? It's, I know, a little silly. That's why I said, it requires us to ask questions, sometimes to get a better understanding of what the person means. We'll never have good communication in our marriage without good listening. Our listening, listen, is just as important as how we speak. So here they are again. I'm going to close. Communication has to be open and honest. No fibbing's allowed. No little white lies. Take them out. Get them out. Number two, you got to stay current. You got to stay up to date. Don't let things drag out. Number three, attack the problem. Don't attack the person. Number four, act. Don't react. And then number five, make sure you're listening well. See, as we look at the Word of God and we see the guidelines here, all these things are true. And there's reason and there's purpose for them. And what is the reason and the purpose for them? Number one, to be obedient to God, to please Him. And number two, to have homes that glorify Him. Now, I will not stand here before you this morning and say, oh, this is just so easy to do. It's not. It takes work. Any good, healthy relationship that you have in your life, it takes work, doesn't it? It never comes easy. And it takes God's grace and it takes the strength of God to enable you to communicate effectively for His glory. So my prayer is, hey, if we see a problem this morning in one of these principles, maybe something that we're not doing right, that we'll get that right today. That you, when you go home, maybe you need to apologize to your spouse while you're driving home. Or when you get home, maybe you and your spouse or your child need to go into a bedroom and you need to say, hey, look, I can see I've been wrong here. I need to get that right with you, honey. Or, son, I'm sorry. Your dad's an idiot. I've been there. But see, that is how we put off and put on practically. That is how we please God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much for this day, and thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you, God, that you don't leave us without hope. And Father, my prayer today, if there maybe is a marriage or a family that is struggling specifically in the area of communication, that these principles that we've learned today would be applied now. That there would be repentance and there would be obedience and there would be forgiveness granted where needed. So that, Lord, we will have homes that are rock solid and glorify you. In Christ's name, amen.